Personally, there's some news. I've had a few good days, which after the last 4 months has been absolute relief. There has been stress, but I've been able to manage coping with it. I've been quite jumpy, so I don't know if that's with paranoia or hypervigilance or just being jumpy. Usually it's kind of an adrenaline thing. Right, so today I am going to do a podcast on fibromyalgia. I've done a BPD related podcast, I've done a bipolar related podcast, so I thought I'd do fibromyalgia. Now, not many people, as far as I know exactly what it is. So I'm going to simply take you over the NHS website. Well, I'll read it out. It's nhs.uk and it's fibromyalgia. And it's got on it the overview, symptoms, causes, diagnosis, treatment, and self-help. Personally, I'm on 300 milligrams of pregabalin, 60 milligrams of amitriptyline, that's daily. I also have received physio and have been re-referred for physio as I'm having nerve problems with my jaw running all the way down to my right, my hand, and my neck, my shoulders, my elbow, and my hand on the right-hand side. My knees have been a bit of a nightmare recently, and my legs feel like lead. I understand everyone experiences these things, but as I was saying to someone the other day, it depends on levels. You know, everyone experiences paranoia, but it's how quickly you can brush it away, how much you believe in it. Regarding paranoia, I have had my dose of risperidone increased to 3 milligrams. So far, so good. I'm not going to increase it again for another 3-4 weeks. I won't see the psych again for probably about 5 weeks because the change in junior doctors. So anyway, right, on to fibromyalgia. Fibromyalgia has many symptoms that tend to vary from person to person. The main symptom is widespread pain. There are periods when your symptoms get better or worse depending on factors such as your stress levels, changes in the weather, how physically active you are. Now, changes in the weather is, but this is a personal interjection. I can vouch for the changes in the weather. And also, well, all three stress levels, things just get worse. So where I have had stress points, I've had more pain over the last few days. I've just not had a meltdown. With the changes in the weather, the heat, I think that has really increased my pain. It seems to be extremes either side. And as for how physically active you are, there is a level. There is too much and there is too little. A lot of the time with depression and my energy levels, I can't always achieve the level of activity I should do. But then when I'm hyper, I do too much and then I'll just keep going and going and going and I'll crash. And you know, I don't whether it lasts I don't know, 3 weeks, like a week, 3 weeks, 3 months, whatever. So I have to, you know, if you have it or a loved one has it, you need to be careful about balance, really. It's different. It is different for other people. I mean, I am able to control it to an extent where I do not need physical support walking. My mobility is due to my mental health rather than somatic illness. which I'm pretty sure is central, is of the central nervous system. Okay, so if you think you have fibromyalgia, visit your general practitioner. Treatment is available to ease some of the symptoms, although it's unlikely they'll ever disappear completely. The main symptoms of fibromyalgia are outlined below. So the first one is widespread pain. If you have fibromyalgia, one of the main symptoms is likely to be widespread pain. This may be felt throughout your body, but could be worse in particular areas such as your neck and your back. Yes, and personally, my calves, my knees, and my shoulders in general, really. Okay, so the pain is likely to be continuous, although it may be better or more severe at different times. The pain could feel like an ache, a burning sensation, or a sharp stabbing pain. Personally, I think there's more of a variety than that. Like pins and needles and numb areas of your body. Okay, extreme sensitivity. Fibromyalgia can make you extremely sensitive to pain all over your body, and you may find that even the slightest touch is painful. If you hurt yourself, such as stubbing your toe, the pain may continue for longer than it normally would. You may hear the condition described in the following medical terms: hyperalgesia. I think that's how you say it, when you're extremely sensitive to pain, or allodynia. Allodynia, yeah, when you feel the pain from something that should not be painful at all, such as a light touch. You may also be sensitive to things like smoke, certain foods, and bright lights. Being exposed to something you're sensitive to can cause your other fibro symptoms to flare up. Yes, especially light. Bright light, I have to turn any bright lights off. Like in the winter, I have to have just a lamp on. Even then, I put frames in front of the lamp, like picture frames in front of the lamp, so that I can't see the light directly, because it just like it can't. I can't cope with it on my eyes. All of my screen time is like the brightness is turned really right down low. If I go out, I have to wear sunglasses. I cannot not wear sunglasses. I have done and recently, and it's just made everything worse. But yeah, okay, stiffness. Fibromyalgia can make you feel stiff. This stiffness may be most severe when you have been in the same position for a long period of time. For example, when you first wake up in the morning. Interjection, yes. I have woken up in a point where I find it difficult to move and I am in just pain, especially if I haven't shifted in the night. And if I lean on or lay awkwardly on particular parts of my body that fibro symptoms usually affect the most. Okay, under stiffness it says it can also cause your muscles to spasm, which is when they contract tightly and painfully. That feels really weird when that happens. Okay, fatigue. Fibromyalgia can cause extreme tiredness. This can range from a mild tired feeling to the exhaustion often experienced during a flu-like illness. Severe fatigue may come on suddenly and can drain you of all your energy. If this happens, you may feel too tired to do anything at all. As I said before, you know, not just with mental health, but with somatic, I think I said it might actually might just be mental health before, but the fatigue is a nightmare because it does affect your ability to take part in self-care for fibromyalgia and other things. It's difficult because you can never. It's not like, oh, you know, you get a sign, oh, I'm gonna wake up tomorrow feeling ill, and it really does feel like the flu. You get the muscle ache, the throat, the blocked stuffy nose, and moody. I get very moody. Okay, so severe fatigue may come on suddenly. Oh, I've read that bit. Okay, poor sleep quality. Fibromyalgia can affect your sleep. You may often wake up tired even when you've had plenty of sleep. This is because the condition can sometimes prevent you sleeping deeply enough to refresh you properly. You may hear this described as non-restorative sleep. Again, I can vouch for that. However, it's difficult. I have other things that contribute to poor sleep, like chronic insomnia the majority of my life, which is actually not so bad these days. It does still need sorting out. I'm sorting out my routine. It's really difficult to tell my to sort of say that I'll be in bed by a certain time. And by the way, I forgot to say I'm on melatonin now. The doctor has prescribed me melatonin, and we're seeing how that works to help with sleep. Okay, so poor sleep quality. You wake up sometimes, and for me, that is a real trigger for the rest of the symptoms, the pain, the fatigue, the stiffness, the sensitivity, the pa yeah, everything. And the next one, cognitive problems, also known as fibro fog. Cognitive problems are issues related to mental processes, such as thinking and learning. If you have fibromyalgia, you may have trouble remembering and learning new things, problems with attention span and concentration, slowed or confused speech. Well, I get that when I'm sort of feeling depressed anyway, but I'm pretty sure risperidone has really affected my memory. Although it seems to be leveling out typing. Oh, when I was on that for the month, I just couldn't think. It just wasn't the right one for me. I mean, I know it's Seroquel for people in America, and maybe other parts, but quetiapine is the generic name. Okay, so slowed or confused speech. It can feel like you're drunk if you've got the flu symptoms with the remembering and learning things and the slowed and confused speech. If you feel, I feel like I'm drunk. And I don't often drink when, especially when my fibro symptoms have flared up, because it's just an absolute nightmare. Okay, next, headaches. If fibromyalgia has caused you to experience pain and stiffness in your neck and shoulders, you may also have frequent headaches. They can vary from mild headaches to severe migraines, and can also involve other symptoms such as feeling sick. Again, have experienced this when I go through periods where it usually starts with a headache and then continues with all over pain, flu symptoms, and then my body, I lose appetite, I can't sleep, I'm sleeping too much. Like the other weekend, I slept 36 hours in the 48 hours. Yeah, so that can happen, which makes me just, because it's like I sleep too much, but in reality, it's a mixture of sleeping too much and not getting restorative sleep. So I end up with the migraines, and I just end up laying in bed with the curtains closed and the lights off. Luckily, it's summer at the moment, so I don't have to worry so much about the lights. If I close the curtains most of the way, it's okay because the sun is only on my room in the morning. Okay, so next, irritable bowel syndrome. Yep, I have that one. Some people with fibromyalgia also develop irritable bowel syndrome. Irritable bowel syndrome is a common digestive condition that causes pain and bloating in your stomach. It can also lead to constipation or diarrhea. Without going into too much information. Yep, that kicks in with the pain. That is actually, if there's signs, then that can usually be one. But that is generally a mix of food, stress, sleep, activity, a variety of things, really. Okay, so other symptoms include dizziness and clumsiness, feeling too hot or too cold. This is because you're not able to regulate your body temperature properly. An overwhelming urge to move your legs, restless leg syndrome, tingling, numbness, prickling, or burning sensation in your hands and feet, pins and needles, also known as paresthesia. In your women, unusually painful periods, anxiety, and depression. Now, I suffer from anxiety and depression anyway, so I don't know if that affects it. I just know that when I am not able to be active and I end up staying indoors for days on end because symptoms are flared up, I find it very difficult not to let my mood drop because I can't concentrate on anything. I can't read, I can't watch anything on Netflix because my eyes just hurt too much. In some cases, cocodamol does help, but it doesn't help with nerve pain. Not much. And yeah, so that can be a pain in the bum, although CBD does help a fair amount. Yeah, I do use CBD, but to be honest, I can't really say exactly how effective it is for me. Because I've used it for ages and I don't really want to risk stop using it and it cause problems. I know that it helps with other things, so I don't know, might be one to try for you. CBD, it's legal in the UK. I'm not sure about the status in America or Europe. I'm pretty sure CBD is legal in Europe as well, and you can get it in the form of a vape additive or an oral solution, or you can get edibles. Yeah, so that's brilliant. Depression. In some cases, having the condition can lead to depression. This is because fibromyalgia can be difficult to deal with, and low levels of certain hormones associated with the condition can make you prone to developing depression. Depression can cause many symptoms, including constantly feeling low, feeling hopeless and helpless, losing interest in the things you usually enjoy. If you may be depressed, it's important to get help from your GP or your fibromyalgia healthcare professional, which would usually be a rheumatologist. Okay, so I was diagnosed with, I suspected I had fibromyalgia for 10 years. And so did both of my partners in that time. But I thought I was making a mountain out of a molehill and didn't want to go to the doctor and be like, oh, there's so much wrong with me. And then the doctor be like, what? What are you talking about? But I went to my doctor and he looked at my history and he was like, okay. He started treating me for it. Before I got diagnosed, he put me on the right medication. I was on 150 of pregabalin at the time, and I've slowly, really slowly gone up to 60 milligrams of amitriptyline. I don't want to go much higher, to be honest, especially while this whole risperidone thing is leveling out. I'm considering going 75 milligrams lower on the pregabalin just to see if I can manage it because other medication has. Oh, not reduce my stress levels, but potentially could have reduced my stress levels. So if I can be on less of that, and then I'll have more leeway if the fibro gets worse again. Yeah. So personal experience, like I said, 10 years. It got especially bad from 2012 onwards. And then the doctor referred the GP in early 2018, possibly late 2017, referred me to rheumatologist, and I went to see the rheumatologist, and she looked at my history, and she looked at my medication, and she did some pain checks down my spine, which hurt, and she diagnosed me with fibromyalgia within 15 minutes. Sometimes I feel like that's an exaggeration, but it was definitely within the first 20 minutes. Since then, I have been able to manage my symptoms on and off. I haven't had a more than a day-long attack for a long time. It's like anything. It's like bipolar. The symptoms are never going to go away. You might go through periods where you're all right and you feel all right, but that, like, even if it gets better, they may well still be prevalent. I think, to be honest, they don't know enough about the actual causes of fibro to actually be able to say whether it's lifelong. I think maybe it probably is at the moment, because maybe the younger ones like me and people who were diagnosed at a much earlier age than me, maybe there can be something sorted out, and maybe there's a medication mixture that is able to prevent, and fibro and physio in a mixture of treatment that is able to prevent the condition from getting worse. Okay, right, there's actually more on the website, so let's go and have a look. Okay, so I'm gonna go with causes, diagnosis, and treatment. Okay, so it's not clear why some people have developed fibromyalgia. The exact cause is unknown, but it's likely that a number of factors are involved. Here are some of the main factors that are thought to contribute to the condition. Abnormal pain messages. One of the main theories is that people with fibromyalgia have developed changes in the way the central nervous system processes the pain messages carried around the body. This could be a result of changes to chemicals in the nervous system. The central nervous system, brain, spinal cord, and nerves, transmits information all over your body through a network of specialized cells. Changes in the way this system works may explain why fibromyalgia results in constant feelings of an extreme sensitivity to pain. Chemical imbalances. Research has found that people with fibromyalgia have abnormally low levels of serotonin, noradrenaline, and dopamine in their brains. Low levels of these hormones may be a key factor in the cause of fibromyalgia, as they're important for in regulating things like mood, appetite, sleep, behaviour in response to stressful situations. These hormones play a role in processing pain messages sent by the nerves. Increasing the hormone levels with medication can disrupt these signals. Some researchers have suggested that changing the levels of some other hormones, such as cortisol, which is released when the body is under stress, may contribute to fibromyalgia. Sleep problems. It is possible that disturbed sleep patterns may be the cause of fibromyalgia rather than just a symptom. Fibromyalgia can prevent you from sleeping deeply and cause extreme tiredness. People with the condition who sleep badly can also have high levels of pain, suggesting that these sleep problems contribute to the other symptoms of fibromyalgia, which is exactly what I was saying earlier, in the interjection from me. I didn't know that it was considered that sleep problems could actually be a cause. That's quite interesting. I might see if I can do some further research into that. Genetics. Researchers suggested that genetics play a small part in the development of fibromyalgia, with some people perhaps more likely than others to develop this condition because of their genes. If this is the case, genetics could explain why many people develop fibromyalgia after some sort of trigger. Possible triggers. Fibromyalgia is often triggered by a stressful event, including physical stress or emotional, psychological stress. Possible triggers for the condition include an injury, a viral infection, giving birth, having an operation, a breakdown of relationship, being in an abusive relationship, the death of a loved one. But in some cases, fibromyalgia does not develop after any obvious trigger. Associated conditions. There are several other conditions associated with fibromyalgia. Generally, these are rheumatic conditions affecting the joints, muscles and bones, such as osteoarthritis, when damage to the joints causes pain and stiffness, lupus, when the immune system mistakenly attacks healthy cells and tissues in various parts of the body, rheumatoid arthritis, when the immune system mistakenly attacks healthy cells in the joints causing pain and swelling. Okay, this is going to be difficult to pronounce. Ankylosing spondylitis. Pain and swelling parts of the spine. Temporomandibular disorder, TMD. A condition that can cause pain in the jaws, cheeks, ears and temples. Conditions like these are usually tested for when diagnosing fibromyalgia. Okay, on for diagnosis. Okay, so this is only a short one. Alright. If you think you have fibromyalgia, visit your general practitioner. Diagnosing fibromyalgia can be difficult, as there's no specific test to diagnose the condition. The symptoms of fibromyalgia can vary and are similar to those of several other conditions. During diagnosis, you'll be asked about how your symptoms are affecting your daily life. Your body will also be examined to check for physical signs of other conditions. For example, swollen joints may suggest arthritis rather than fibromyalgia. Personally, I was also sent for blood tests just to rule out other things. So, if your GP thinks that you have fibromyalgia, they'll first have to rule out other conditions that could be causing your symptoms. These conditions include chronic fatigue syndrome, also known as ME, a condition that causes long-term tiredness, rheumatoid arthritis, a condition that causes pain and swelling in the joints, multiple sclerosis, a condition of the central nervous system, the brain and spinal cord, that affects movement and balance. Tests to check for some of these conditions include urine and blood tests, although you may have to have x-rays and other scans. If we found that you have another condition, you could still have fibromyalgia as well. Criteria for diagnosis in fibromyalgia. For fibromyalgia to be diagnosed, certain criteria usually have to be met. The most widely used criteria for diagnosis are: you either have severe pain in 3 to 6 different areas of your body, or milder pain in 7 or more. Your symptoms have stayed at a similar level for at least 3 months. No other reason for your symptoms has been found. The extent of the pain used to be assessed by applying gentle pressure to certain tender points, where pain is likely to be its worst, but this is less common nowadays. Even though the rheumatologist did that. Okay, so diagnosing other conditions. It's also possible to have other conditions alongside your fibromyalgia, such as depression, anxiety, and irritable bowel syndrome. If your symptoms suggest that you have another condition as well as fibromyalgia, you may need further tests to diagnose these. Identifying all possible conditions will help guide your treatment. Personally, I was diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome when I was in hospital, so that was always something that was there. Alright, okay, so treatment for fibromyalgia tries to ease some of your symptoms and improve quality of life, but there's currently no cure. Your GP will play an important role in treatment and care. They can help you decide what's best for you depending on what you prefer and available treatments. In some cases, several different healthcare professionals may also be involved in your care, such as a rheumatologist, a specialist in conditions that affect muscles and joints, a neurologist, a specialist in conditions of the central nervous system, a psychologist, a specialist in mental health and psychological treatments. I'll say a physiotherapist as well, because that's what I've been referred to. Fibromyalgia has numerous symptoms, meaning no single treatment will work for them all. Treatment that works for some people will not necessarily work for others. You may need to try a variety of treatments to find a combination that suits you. This will normally be a combination of medication and lifestyle changes. Information and support. You may find it useful to research fibromyalgia to improve your understanding of the condition. Many people also find groups helpful. Just talking to someone who knows what you've been through can make someone feel better. You can visit UK Fibromyalgia Support Group section for a list of fibromyalgia support groups across the country. So I think if you just Google it, because it's got a highlighted link for UK Fibromyalgia Support Group Section Society, and yeah, I'll have a look on there and I might do a further podcast on it. Fibromyalgia Action UK is a charity that offers information and support to anyone who has fibromyalgia. It has a telephone service you can call with any questions about the condition. Okay, so this is the questions for the telephone service of Fibromyalgia Action UK. 03-00-999-3333. That's 03-00-999-333. Okay, it also has a network of local support groups you may find helpful. There's also an online community where you can find out about news, events and ongoing research. Medication. You may also take several types of medicines for fibromyalgia, including painkillers and antidepressants. Simple painkillers that are available over the counter from a pharmacy, such as paracetamol, can sometimes help relieve the pain associated with fibromyalgia. But these are not suitable for everyone, so make sure you read the manufacturer's instructions that come with the medication before using them, like they can interact with other medication that you're already on, or with certain illnesses, disorders, syndromes, etc. If over-the-counter painkillers are not effective, your GP or another healthcare professional treating you may prescribe a stronger painkiller such as codeine or tramadol, but these painkillers can be addictive and their effect tends to weaken over time. Because they're opioids, and opioids like benzodiazepines build up in over time in your system, which means you need higher doses. Okay, so antidepressants. Antidepressant medication can also help relieve pain for some people with fibromyalgia. They boost the levels of certain chemicals that carry messages to and from the brain, known as neurotransmitters. Low levels of neurotransmitters may be a factor in fibromyalgia, and it's believed that increasing their levels may ease the widespread pain associated with the condition. There are different types of antidepressants. The choice of medicine largely depends on the severity of your symptoms and any side effects the medicine may cause. Antidepressants used to treat fibromyalgia are tricyclic antidepressants, so they're old school, such as amitriptyline, serotonin noradrenaline reuptake inhibitors, SNRIs, such as duloxetine and venlafaxine, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors such as fluoxetine, Prozac and paroxetine. And there's loads of SSRIs. I mean, I'm on sertraline, I know people on citalopram. I don't know what the common ones are. I know sertraline is common for PTSD. I'm unaware if it's common for fibro. A medication called Pramipexole, which is not an antidepressant but also affects the level of neurotransmitter they sometimes use as well. Antidepressants can cause a number of side effects, including feeling sick, a dry mouth, drowsiness, feeling agitated, shaky or nervous, dizziness, weight gain and constipation. For information on the side effects of your particular medication, check the patient information leaflet that comes with it. I have to say, an interjection on that point is, if it's not working for you, go back to your doctor. Sometimes you have to give it 2-3 weeks, but if it's just too much, then you need to go back to your doctor and sort something out. In England, a lot of places now have something called e-consult, where if you can't get an appointment, you can contact the surgery via the internet, and they can come back to you with advice, or call you to book you in for an appointment, or something. Lower your dose, you know, it can be useful. Right, so medication to help you sleep. As fibromyalgia can affect your sleep patterns, you may want medicine to help you sleep. If you're sleeping better, you may find the other symptoms are not as severe. Speak to your GP if you think you could benefit from medicine like this. They may recommend an over-the-counter remedy or prescribe a short course of stronger medication. Some antidepressants may also improve your sleep quality. Read more about treating insomnia for information on good sleeping techniques and medicines to help you sleep. When they say good sleeping techniques, they essentially mean sleep hygiene, which is something you can research and that is meant to help. It's not always easy to put into practice. I don't find it easy to put into practice because there's so many contributing factors to my lack of sleep and my lack of ability to relax and such is life. But amitriptyline, one of the tricyclic antidepressants to use to treat the pain in fibromyalgia and the hormone levels, is actually a sedative, as are other tricyclic antidepressants, so that might be worth considering. Muscle relaxants. If you have muscle stiffness or spasms and the muscles contract painfully as a result of fibromyalgia, your GP may prescribe a short course of muscle relaxants such as diazepam. These medicines can also help you sleep better because they can have a sedative effect. I've also been given baclofen before, which is a muscle relaxant. I don't think it's good for long-term use, but when I need it, it's there. Okay, so anticonvulsants. You may also be prescribed an anticonvulsant medicine, as these can be effective for those with fibromyalgia. The most commonly used anticonvulsants for fibromyalgia are pregabalin and gabapentin. These are normally used to treat epilepsy, but research has shown that they can improve pain associated with fibromyalgia in some people. Some common side effects of pregabalin and gabapentin include dizziness, drowsiness, swelling of your hands and feet, and weight gain. Okay, so next is antipsychotics. Antipsychotic medication called neuroleptics are sometimes used to help relieve long-term pain. Studies have shown that these medications may help conditions like fibromyalgia, but further research is needed to confirm this. Possible side effects include drowsiness, tremors, and restlessness. Now, there's more side effects to be considered, but these are all varying points to consider along the way. And it's whatever works for you, but stick at it. And taking something like an antipsychotic does not mean you suffer from psychosis. They are all of these things. These medications have been discovered to be able to be used to treat off-label, like anticonvulsants are used as a mood stabiliser. Lamotrigine is an anticonvulsant, and I take that for a mood stabiliser. That was my golden ticket. Brilliant. For me, it may not be for other people. Okay, other treatment options. These include swimming, sitting or exercising in a heated pool or warm water, known as hydrotherapy or balneotherapy, an individually trained tailored exercise program, cognitive behavioral therapy, a talking therapy that aims to change the way you think about things so you can tackle problems more positively, psychotherapy, a talking therapy that helps you understand and deal with your thoughts and feelings, relaxation techniques such as meditation, psychological support, any kind of counselling or support group that helps you deal with issues caused by fibromyalgia. See self-help for fibromyalgia for more information about exercise and relaxation techniques. Now that's also a highlighted link on the NHS page, so it might be worth typing in NHS self-help for fibromyalgia. Alternative therapies. Some people with fibromyalgia try complementary alternative treatments such as acupuncture, massage, manipulation and aromatherapy. There's little scientific evidence that such treatments help in the long run, but some people find certain treatments can help them feel relaxed and feel less stressed, allowing them to cope with their condition better. Research into complementary therapies such as plant extracts has found that they're not effective in treating fibromyalgia. If you decide to use any complementary herbal remedies, check with your GP first. Some remedies can react unpredictably with other medication or make it less effective. If you have been diagnosed with fibromyalgia and another condition such as depression or irritable bowel syndrome, you may need to have separate treatment for these. For example, additional counselling or medication may be recommended. Read more about this on treating depression and treating IBS. Again, both highlighted links, so just have a look for NHS and they've got loads more information and links to other charities, which I actually didn't know about myself, so I will do further research into these when I get the time and energy and concentration. So, that's it. I just wanted to do a podcast that, you know, I've said about this podcast is to do with various disorders and syndromes that I've been diagnosed with, so, and I realised I haven't done anything on fibromyalgia, when really, in my experience, not a lot is known about it. People have heard of it, you know, oh, so-and-so's got that, so-and-so's got that, but they don't understand what it is, and sometimes it's really difficult to explain. I'm used to talking to people in my support group, friends and family, that like about the more advanced things on it, like say using medical terms and such. So I'm not very good at breaking things down and communicating with people from like the beginning, if you like. Anyway, I hope that was helpful, and I shall say goodbye, because we have gone clearly over the half an hour mark. However, I feel it was useful, and I hope you do too. Right, bye.